Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, November the 4th, 2012.
We have lots planned for tonight, so we want to just move it right along. So let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for Ann and Vitaly and the work that you're using them, Father. We pray that you'll continue to watch over them and help them as they face a winter season and they work and minister, Father. And for this conference, we pray tonight that you'll help Harry and Bea and Mary and Andrew to be able to communicate well the burden and vision they have for ministry in Togo. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Ann and Vitaly, that's a great, great ministry, and they've been faithful for quite a number of years now, so we thank the Lord for them. Why don't you stand with me as we begin tonight singing the chorus, I Will Serve Thee, and we'll go from there. I will serve thee because I love thee.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces,
because you believe,
been a joy and a privilege for my family, but also a number of you to be able to get to know the Ketterings, Joel and Polly Kettering, as they've come into our church a few months ago and kind of settling here in retirement. So we're excited to have them. Polly's going to come and share with us in song.
Conference has three I's, information and inspiration, and the third is involvement. It's not enough to hear God's call to follow. It's not enough to see the need beyond. It's only when we give ourselves in service, it is enough to please the heart of God. The days on earth are short, my friend. Not one can we recall. Time hurries by before our eyes, and death soon comes to all. It's now that's so important. Tomorrow may not come. Our plans for serving Jesus must not be left undone. It's not enough to hear God's call to follow. It's not enough to see the need beyond. It's only when I give myself in service, it is enough to please the heart of God. He gives to every single one a talent he can use to tell a lost and dying world 'tis Jesus they must choose. No one can say for certain just what the future holds, but we who follow Jesus must let him have control. It's not enough to hear God's call to follow. It's not enough to see the need beyond. It's only
Thank you. We'll ask the men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity he gives us to give. And our offering, of course, going towards defraying a lot of the expenses for this conference and everything. So, Father, we thank you that you give us reminders all the time about our responsibility to be involved, to be knowledgeable, Father, to respond in obedience to you. Help us to do just that with this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. try a couple of calls through conference here, and we have attempted to have Daniel Leathers online with us tonight. Picture here too. Daniel, are you with us?
Hi, Paul. Both Sherry and myself are with you tonight.
That's great.
I'm Pastor Euler, Grace Baptist Church. It's a privilege to be with you.
Hard to believe it's been a year since you've been with us, so I want to bring that to folks' attention that we got to know you last year this time. Fill us in on what's, remind the folks that may not have met you last year of your ministry goal, what you're aiming for, and what you're preparing for.
Great. We are with ABWE. We're heading to Togo, West Africa, to the north in a place called Mongo, an 80% Muslim area, and we get the privilege of teaming up with some other families to help start the first Christian radio station. And the Lord has blessed us this past year to be at 70% of our partnership funding, and we praise God for it, and we give Him all the glory. And I thank you, Grace, for partnering with us and sending us to Togo and help do this.
That's great. And we, folks here recognize, I don't know if I had mentioned to you, that we're going to be hearing from the wards tonight, and of course that fills in a great deal more on our part in Togo. Is there anything from the past year that you would mention to us in the way of your adventures with family or health or anything that just fill us in a little bit on what the year has held?
The kids are growing fast and getting big. This is our first year of homeschooling, and it's been a challenge, but it has been very beneficial for us. The kids are doing well. Health-wise, the Lord has blessed us and kept us safe on the road. We've had many hours on the road. And do you think of anything else there? Putting her on the spot.
Daniel's been busy working, fixing the house up to put on the market to sell.
Okay. Give us a look ahead then. At 70%, are you beginning to make plans for the field, or do you need another session back up in Harrisburg, or what comes in this year?
Absolutely. We're making plans. We're preparing for the field. We are planning on being in the field prep seminar at ABWE in April, or March, I believe, actually. And then planning on language school in September of this next year. And so we're trusting the Lord for His timing on the remaining 30% and just doing our part to tell as many people as possible. This next year also we'll be developing material for the Hope Radio project and just all the partnership information and promotional materials for that. There will be other teammates helping with that, and many will be helping spread the word. It's a God-sized project. It's going to be over about $560,000 to build this radio station over in Mongo. But we know God's got it all lined up, and we're just excited to see where it's going to come from. We are planning to break ground next year as the Lord provides, and our projected first air date would be June of 2015.
Okay, that sounds exciting. Thank you for updating us there. Let's pray together, and we'll remember those things that you've mentioned, and that's part of what we aim to do through conference. Father, we thank you for Daniel and Sherry. We're pleased to hear from them again. We're excited for the way that you have brought in additional support since we saw them, since they were beginning last year this time. We look forward to the radio ministry that they'll be able to do to reach into several countries there from northern Togo. And we pray that you would continue to make the way smooth, speed them on the way, put them in the place that you have them, and guard over them as they get there, in their travels, in their homeschooling, in the preparation for that field work. We pray that you would encourage them in yourself, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for letting us share with you and allowing us to be an extension of your ministry.
We look forward to being in touch. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think I heard Skype sign off there, didn't you? Well, we're in for a treat tonight. We've invested a great deal in Togo in terms of personnel and funds and a variety of things, and I think that we're going to have a double feature tonight, Andrew and Mary and Harry and B. And so as I came back, I went to my email last week, and I thought, how am I going to make, you know, a Sunday evening without seeing B's report? But B, the report was there, and I noticed it's already in there today, but there's no good chicken stories that you'd run over any chickens or anything. And so anyway, please come and share.
It's good to be home. I wore my Sunday outfit for you. You know, this is typical Sunday morning going to church. This is your going to church clothes. This is Sunday morning going to church clothes. So Andrew and Mary are dressed the same way too. So it is good to be home. You're our family. So when we come back, this is home for us. So, and before we get started, let me take the opportunity to thank you for your prayers and support. You know, you can see the difference on the field, missionaries that don't have the kind of support that we have from you folks. And it makes all the difference in the ministry. And we just thank you and praise the Lord for you. To have a good home church like you folks, it's just wonderful. Now, some of you may not know that the so-calls, that's my daughter Anne. So tonight is not only Togo night, it's ward night. So, okay. Let's go right straight to our presentation. Let's see, where's the little clicker? On the chair. Ah, okay, all right, okay. All right, let's talk about Togo tonight. We've been 13 years in Togo, and that's what we look like. This is a before shot. Okay. Let's see. Some of you may not know where Togo is, so I always put a map in there so you know we're in the in West Africa. And for 40 years, ABWE has been in Togo, and we have evangelized, we have discipled, we have trained church leadership. And why did we do all of that? To plant churches in Togo. Now, what have been the results of 40 years of investment in missionary time and effort and money? We have over 80 churches and church plants. Most of those have been planted by Togolese. The original ones that were planted were about 15, and those are all independent now. All the rest have been planted by the Togolese believers. Missions is working in Togo exactly like you want it to work. And we still have the Blind Center that was there way back to Dallas and Kay Washer. Kay Washer started the Blind Center years ago, and that's still going on. The hospital still has over 6 decisions a day. That's why we're building a second hospital up in Mongo that Daniel talked about. That's where the radio station's going to be. We have a resource center. You support Judy Bowen. Judy Bowen does this ministry. When she came, there were 2 pieces of literature, and now there's probably 2,000 pieces of literature. And we have a literacy ministry because some of those people still don't know how to read, especially the older generation. And now what we've been involved in recently are the 14 Christian elementary schools that teach the next generation. Okay. So, what have I been doing? Originally, we went to Togo. I went to be the director of the hospital. There were some problems there. If you know anything about what I've done in my life, I've either solved problems or I've started new ministries. I enjoy challenges. So, it was a challenge. So, did that, got things squared away, turned it back over to the medical people. And then I got involved with helping B. She'll talk more about her ministry, and you'll see some of it here. But I did all of the grunt work, all the paperwork, all the red tape, all the garbage, so that she could do the ministry. All right. And then I also did computers. You know, I've been doing computers here, you know, since the school started in 1987 when we came. And I also did music. You know, there's lots of brass players. That's what I graduated in college as. I was an old band director. So there's plenty of brass players there. So I did lots of teaching there. And every missionary does discipleship. And this is a Bible study class that we started, 11 years ago. And they were all single then. And so we studied about who do you choose as a mate and all that sort of stuff. And now they're all married. So we're talking kids ministries and stuff like that. So now, of course, B had a totally different situation. And one of the things that she did was train, because of the support that you folks gave us, we were able to train one teacher in Togo. That means for a whole year, pay their salaries, move them there, get all of their equipment and supplies, $750 a year. The bargain of the century. Where else can you train somebody for $750? Well, we did this for 6 years. Now, what you probably didn't get from B's Sunday night letters is that she was doing two jobs at once. She was teaching in the morning and writing curriculum in the afternoon. So this woman has been doing two full-time jobs for 7 years. So those, I don't know that you can see them well, but every candle that's lit there are her students, her disciples, her Timothys, or her Timothy is. And so they've all came back for this one large meeting just as we were getting ready to leave Togo, and this was their final graduation from all of the years and all the previous people that they're. But those are her disciples. And that came from you. Grace was the one that paid for all of that discipleship. You did it. So these are your disciples. Okay? And from those disciples, she had about 100 that she trained over the 6 years. Last year, there were 2,650 kids enrolled in our elementary schools. Now, think about that for a second. This church has made a major commitment in education here in Chattanooga. Think of the money and time and effort you have put in your academy. And it's a wonderful ministry. My daughter, who is now 40 years old, is a graduate of this. You have been in business that long. Well, in just the 6 years that Bee's had her teachers, you now have your extended education to over 2,600 kids 5 days a week. And that's going to continue growing. So the ministry that you have here is a wonderful ministry, but it has been multiplied six times, by sending missionaries and all the help that you've given in Togo. Okay, this is what she did in the afternoon. These are just some of the books that she had to write with all the various curriculum things and readers and stuff like that. There's some samples out there on the table if you want to see them. But they're all in different languages, yeah, French or Eve, so you won't be able to read them. Now, why did we do all this? Missionaries leave works that are freestanding, that continue on. And when we came to our little town of Adata, this is where we went to church. This was our Adata church, okay? And now, because of partnership, this is what they have now. Some of you have come and painted that building. And, of course, they're very thankful for it. It's the kind of building that they need for that ministry. Then this is a school classroom. You know, this is what they have. Just a roof, some poles, and some benches, and they have some slates. We have some slates out there you can see that they work with. And because of being involved and partnering with them, this is what you have now. You have classrooms inside with, you know, so that you don't get rained on, and you can put up things and keep them up and not have to take them down every day. So it's a wonderful ministry that you folks have done. And the reason you do it is to get this. Now, you see happy kids there. The normal school in Togo, the government schools, kids are not happy. It's in prison. There is nothing on the walls. It's like a prison cell. And the kids don't respond because if they answer correctly, they get incorrectly, they get hit. And so it is not a happy place. But look at those kids. They're smiling and laughing and learning. And that's what education's all about. And then we also have great ministry with our Togolese brother. They are by far the better soul winners. You know, we can give the gospel, but they know how to give the gospel to their own brothers and sisters, in the heart language that very few of us know. French is the official language. That's what we learn. But it's Eve, Kabye, Hausa, Akposo. There's 40 different languages there. They know how to reach their own people, and they do. This look familiar? We have Awana at our church, just like you do here. In fact, your Awana group has supported this group. You gave a gift, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. They're still using that same money. So your Awana group has supported this Awana group for several years. Now, your 13 years of support and prayers permit us to help you fulfill the Great Commission. We simply are an extension of your ministry. We go and disciple, baptize, and teach. Now, what's going on in the future? All right. There still needs to be continuing professional development. This is continuing to educate teachers on a part-time basis. You do that here at your school. You send them off to seminars. You send them off to conventions. This is the same kind of thing. But while we are gone, the people that have been trained to continue to do this while we're gone are Kujoji on the left. The second face is Roger. Chris, they're there now doing this, doing that ministry. Christy just joined us this year. She's a 1-year short-term missionary to see if she likes it and is continuing on. And the last one is Annie. Annie is the granddaughter of some missionaries that went to Bangladesh. Besides serving God and having the joy of serving God, there's probably nothing better than to see your kids and your grandkids serving God. And she's a grandkid of a missionary, so we hope that she'll come and serve here too. Then Bee's planning on going back and doing some summer training seminars to do additional curriculum revision. That's what they did this past summer. And, of course, I'll be sending materials and computers just like normal, so keep them coming, folks. All those old dead laptops and stuff like that that doesn't work anymore, I'll take them, okay? They don't appreciate in value when you set them aside, so give them to me, you know. Okay. Now, what's going to happen in the future? Well, we have this young couple here, Andrew and Mary, our son and daughter-in-law. So this is what they look like when they just finished college. So they're young, but now we have, go on, there we go. Let me give you something to consider. Long-term ministries have long-term impact. Now, that's not to say short-term things, you know, summer ministries, those are fine. Pushes for evangelism, those are fine. But long-term impact takes long-term ministries. And so we've started that. You know, churches, hospitals, and schools are those kind of examples. And the education ministry in Togo now has begun exceptionally well because of all the wonderful things that you folks have done there. But it now needs continuity, maturity, and expansion. And that's what our son Andrew and Mary are going to be doing. So, your past investment of prayers and support will continue to have eternal rewards. So I would urge you to consider continuing and expanding. Let me tell you a story. When Bea and I graduated from college, there was a young couple studying that had been there with us. They were friends with us, and they were going to the mission field. And so we started supporting them 44 years ago. That small investment that we made that has grown over the years has developed into a lifetime of friendship. You know who that young couple was? John and Mary Ramsey. We've supported them all those years. So I encourage you, especially if you're a young couple here, to invest in a couple and start that ministry now, and that will bear fruit for decades in your ministry. So if it's not Andrew and Mary, then do someone, you know, get involved in missionaries' life. It's an investment well worth making. So anyway, all of this, of course, is to the glory of God, and we thank you for your prayers and support. So we'll have a chance afterwards to do some questions. Let's see. Who wants to go next? Andrew, you want to go to the film first? What do you want to do?
I'll talk for a moment.
Okay. All right.
All right. So a lot of people generally ask, so what's next? What's next for Togo? What's going to happen for the teachers and the schools? And they mentioned the 14 Christian schools. There's also one new junior high school that has been started. And when we were there in January, that's all that they talked about was, are you going to help with junior highs? Are you going to help with high schools? You know, that's what we want. That every church we visited, that's what they asked us about. Because, and I tell people, if no one ever goes back to Togo, these churches are going to start junior high schools, and they're going to start high schools. The question is, do we want them to be good high schools and good junior high schools? We want to help them make disciples of Jesus Christ. They have churches that are starting junior highs and high schools that have never seen a Christian junior high or Christian junior high school. And so they need our help to help train teachers and help write curriculum, and that's what we're going to do. They need a teacher mentoring process for ongoing training for new teachers and for current teachers. They need additional curriculum. They need curriculum revision on a regular basis, and they just need leadership training in general of teachers and administrators and pastors. Just think, most of the pastors in Togo are first-generation missionaries, are first-generation Christians right now. So you've got pastors that might have as much Christian training as kids in our youth group. But think, this generation of believers that's going through the Christian schools right now, that 2,600 kids that are in school, that are learning Bible verses and learning stories from the Bible as children, as five-year-olds and above, they're the ones that are going to be the strong churches that are going to send out pastors and missionaries to places in Togo and places in West Africa and North Africa that we could never go to. You heard Dr. Loftus last Sunday talk about the globalization of missionaries. You've got missionaries from Brazil going to West Africa. You've got missionaries from China going to different places around the world. What we want to see is that these Christian schools are going to make disciples of Jesus Christ that are going to be a center for missions in West Africa, that are going to send out missionaries all over the world. Because that's what we want. We want churches and we want pastors and believers that are going to be self-replicating to make more disciples and spread the gospel to more people around Togo, around West Africa, and around the world. I just wanted to mention one brief passage for you in the book of Titus. Here you have the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Titus, and he had traveled in his missionary journeys, preached on the island of Crete, and planted a church there, but he said that the ministry there was not complete. There was something left undone, something that was unfinished. And he says in Titus 1:5, he says to Titus, I left you in Crete for a reason. The reason I left you in Crete was to set right one thing that was left undone. One part of the ministry that still needed to be finished, and that was to appoint elders in every town. And he said, the kind of people you want are people that are holding to the faithful message that has been taught, that we taught them, that you taught them. We want to make strong leaders in Togo, in churches and in the schools, that will make more disciples, and that this generation of believers that are going through the schools, that are learning the Bible from a young age, that they're going to be the strong churches, they're going to be the missionaries and pastors that can go to people and places that we've never even heard of before. I remember when Alyssa came back from Togo, we'd never heard of the country of Togo before. There's places, there's people groups, there's tribes that we've never heard of before, that no one has ever spoken the name of Jesus to, and the people that are going through the Christian schools right now are going to be the ones that are going to reach those tribes and those people all over West Africa. But what we need is We need your help to get us to Togo. We're at about one-third of our support right now, and it's just now really starting to come in quickly. We sent out a prayer letter just a few days ago, and the number that's in the prayer letter is all by far obsolete already, our support level, because even just the last few days, we've had several people email us or call us and have taken us on for partnership in just the last few days. And so it's really picking up. We had two churches vote on us today. And it's really exciting what's happening right now. And what we really need is more partners to join us and join our ministry, as you said, to be involved in the ministry in Togo. The Apostle Paul says to the Philippian church that supported him, that partnered with him, I don't seek your gift, but the fruit that would be on your account. When you support a mission, when you support a gospel ministry, the Lord sees that that fruit is on your account. When you see those disciples of Christ in those pictures, the Lord sees who it was that supplied those necessary funds and the necessary support for that gospel message to be sent across the world. And so we just have a short video, and then I think my mom is going to come up and speak some more.
We started Prefield in August of 2012. Over the last year of our Prefield ministry, we've been traveling to churches, spreading the word about Togo, and building relationships with our financial partners. Pray for our safety and health during our travels, and pray that God would use us to stir up within fellow believers a passion for missions.
Togo's official language is French. So Mary is enrolled in a 6-week immersion course to start her formal language training. The class will start at the end of January. Pray that God would provide the $2,000 cost for the course.
Along with the new junior high school, over 2,500 students in the Christian elementary schools are being discipled this year. Pray for the teachers as they shine the light of the gospel into their classrooms.
We're going to Togo to build up the church. Our visual for our partnership need shows that we're now funded at 30%. Pray that God would provide financial partners for our ministry so we can be 100% funded. If you'd like to know how you can partner with us in ministry in Togo, please let us know. We'd love to have you join our team.
Well, I got to say most of what I wanted to say this morning to the ladies. I don't see Americans being involved with these Christian schools forever. Our goal is for them to be totally nationalized already. Most of the administration, certainly all the teaching, is done by Togolese. But they do need some involvement by people who know something different, something better than what exists in Togo. In 2002, when I met with the pastors who had asked that Abwe help them with Christian schools, I'd been hearing unsettling things, like they wanted Christian schools to make money for their church, like Grace Academy has made money for this church. And so I said to them all, "We're happy to help you, but I want you to know that, you know, I'm glad if your school actually does make money someday, but that's not where we're headed. If you want Abwe to help you, then the goal for your Christian school has to be to disciple mature believers for your church." And these pastors said, "Wow, what a good idea. Wow, what a great idea." The only thing they knew about Christian education was what they had seen in Togo, that a Christian school is connected to some religious organization. It uses the Togo curriculum, which teaches no good values, and they have no Christian teachers, and they do 1 hour of Bible teaching a week, not necessarily by a religious person. So at the beginning, to get them started, they need to know what Christian education looks like, what's involved in it, and how to get started. So that's where we started from. I mean, we had to start way, way back, you know, way farther back than you thought. And there are still a lot of issues that I'm just kind of dumping on Andrew when he gets there because I didn't get them solved. And I really think that when you measure progress in Africa, you don't measure by years, you measure by generations. And it's going to take, I can see us being involved in these schools for another generation, because let me just give you one example of the kinds of things you have to change. I would say to the pastors, it was the pastors or their school boards, so that all our schools belong to churches. It's all church schools. And I'd say to the pastors and the school boards, look, please just send me people who love children, who have a gift of teaching. And they would send me people who needed jobs. And this happened over and over, godly people. And it was just, I just couldn't figure out what was going on. And then one time, Harry and I went up. We had the great, Harry, the inspector of public schools in our region, we went up to visit him. Harry gave him a computer. And I was just kind of telling him some of the things that we were doing. He just really wasn't interested. Didn't have the time of day. And I was just kind of puzzled by his response. And I, you know, he was just a bureaucrat. He didn't really care what was going on in the schools. He just wanted to keep his job, really, is basically what he was interested in. And other things would come up from time to time. When Andrew came out in January to do his survey, he was going to pay. He's doing his doctoral dissertation on teacher expectations, and he's comparing Togolese teachers with American teachers. And so he had to pay these people just, you know, like $2 for answering these questions. And so he was talking to Roger about it, and Roger said, well, no, don't tell them you're paying them for it. Just give them a gift at the end. Because if you tell them that you're paying them for it, they won't be happy. They'll try to negotiate. They'll try to, you know, talk you into more, and it'll just be a hassle. And so it was just all about money, getting paid and money for things. This was a little unsettling. And then just other things kept coming up like this, and I just really couldn't figure it out. But, you know, then I asked Roger. Okay, Roger, he's the principal of our school in Adata. Okay, Harry actually asked him, if you want to get parents to enroll their kids in our school, what's your selling point? What are you going to tell them about? What are they interested in this school? And Roger said, that the teachers are happy, that the kids are obedient. And I said, well, are they interested that the kids are learning anything? Well, not yet, but we're working on that. And as they've been, and then this fall, school is supposed to start on the 24th. Of September. On about the Wednesday before that Monday, the government announced that school wouldn't start. It would start on the 9th of October. And they said because parents weren't ready, well, every mother in Togo had been counting the days to get their kids back in school. And everybody knew it was because the teachers had said they were going to strike. They had wanted some concessions, some premiums and bonuses, and we're going to strike because they didn't get them. And it's taken me all these years. One little piece of the puzzle goes into place, and finally I figure out the Ministry of Education does not exist to educate children. It's a jobs program. It's all about teachers. And that's why our pastors have this attitude. We want to provide jobs for men. We're not really interested in teachers. I mean, in children. And that's why it's very hard to get our teachers. They think that education takes place at the front of the classroom. It's all about what they do and a beautiful presentation on the blackboard and all this. And it was a struggle to tell them, no, it's what happens in the kid's mind. It's what takes place out there. That's the education. And they just didn't get it. It had never, never occurred to them. So, you know, year after year after year after year, I have to struggle to get teachers focused on kids, Because it's just not in their culture. Nobody focuses on kids. Even at our hospital, a baby is buried, they'll just dig it in a hole and throw it away or whatever. We have parents refuse to give their children operations, rather just take them home to die because you can get more kids. And so to get them, I was just so impressed by Jim Cook's emphasis on children, because it is so far-sighted, and everything in Togo is today about here and now and what we're going to do and get dad a job today, and that we have 14 churches that are willing to look to tomorrow and to make sacrifices for these children and to see the value of educating the children is just a miracle. It's just a miracle. But you can see that we just have a long way to go. We just have to keep telling them and keep telling them, think about the children, focus on the children. Christy writes me emails and says every day I'm saying, well, is that really the best thing for the children? Is that the best thing for the children? And they've never been asked this question. It's like, well, why would we care about what's best for the children? You know, but it's just a school. So it's gonna take at least a generation for Andrew to keep singing this song, keep dealing with him, keep talking to him, but we see progress all the time. A mother was telling Roger how thrilled she is because her young son comes home and tells her a Bible story every day. She doesn't know how to read, and she's just so glad to have that. We have so many Muslims in our school. We're doing a hospital up in Mongo to do Muslim evangelism, and I can't tell you all the Muslims we have in our schools. Love it. Love the Bible. Love how we teach our children, their children. And a couple weeks ago, the police chief in Adata stopped by our school, and Roger asked if there was a problem. No, my boys came here for summer school, and they say they won't go anywhere else. I'm coming to enroll them in your school. He's a Muslim. So we're just thrilled with that. But you just can't understand how long it takes to change a culture. And it's even the culture of our churches that needs to be changed. And so I feel really bad about what I've gotten Andrew into, but but he can handle it. He's at least had some training and can figure these things out. So I just hope you'll support Andrew and Mary, because the representative, one of the vice presidents from ACSI, the Accrediting Association for Grace here, just wrote me an email and said, tell me about what you're doing in Togo, and let's see if we can't carry this to other French-speaking African countries. And so that's our goal, is to get this down really good, our textbooks, our teacher training, and then I know the other French-speaking African countries are just as bad as ours was, and export it to other African countries. But, you know, not in my lifetime. This is Andrew's project, and so we hope you'll help them get there so we can just have 100 schools, 15,000 kids, and then a vision for all over French-speaking Africa.
Sometimes when we make presentations, we think we've answered all the questions, and that rarely happens. So if you have questions, we want to be accountable as missionaries, fire away. What did we miss? What do you want to know? What have we not answered for you?
Dean, when you first started the school movement in Togo, you said if you had $1 million, you could start a school movement in Togo. How's it coming?
Well, we have 14, and you know, I think of Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, and he said the kingdom is like a mustard seed, and eventually it'll grow into a great big flourishing tree. And that's what I see. We have our little mustard seed here in Togo, our little 14 schools. But I just know, you know, it won't be much longer before we just have this big flourishing tree.
Now, one of the things you don't realize is, as far as we know, this, because of you, this is the largest Christian school movement in all of ABWE's countries around the world. And you folks have done it. This is your ministry. Okay, other questions?
It's over here. Carmen.
It's Carmen.
Ruth and I have had the privilege of being involved in the Togo ministry and supporting the wards, I think, from day one, haven't we? And I would just say to you that if I had just tons and tons of money, the $1 million that you talked about, I would put my money with this program. I think that what is happening there, and as Bea said, it could be the nucleus of spreading clear across an entire continent. And I think that you are educating the future leaders of the country. And there are not many countries in that part of the world who are educating Christian leaders. And I would just urge everyone here, I don't know of any ministry that we support where I feel more that we're getting a bang for our bucks, you might say, than with Harry and Bea, and I'm sure with Andrew and Mary, and with Vitaly and Anne. And I'll just say, you know, if you haven't thought about it, add them to your personal support list because it's worthwhile.
You know, I would say, too, another issue for Andrew is one of the big questions, and they debated in Harry's Bible studies, and we've had numerous conversations about it. Can a Christian be involved in government in Togo? It's a real concern for them because it's so corrupt and just so awful. They used to, and a lady gave a testimony the other day in church, and I heard soldier, the word soldier, it was in French, but it went too fast. And I asked Roger, what did she say? She said, she was talking about her husband, who was meaner than a soldier. And I remember in 9/11, when the soldiers came and protected us in Togo, Harry tried to talk his Bible study folks into doing Bible studies with the soldiers, and they were very, very reluctant because they really didn't think these people deserved to be witnessed to, and that was kind of a hard sell. So, but they're now, we just have a lot of soldiers in our churches. One of our churches in Lomé has a great ministry to soldiers, so we make progress, but these are just cultural things that you wouldn't think of that you need to deal with.
Our military has protected us for years, you know. Their military keeps their thumb on the people. Very different idea of what a military is. Okay. Any other questions?
Harry, in your computer work, illustrate where it's how a computer is used in a third world country.
We are finding now that because our Christian schools have a couple of computers, we are on the cutting edge. Okay?
Because the government schools,
have zero. I mean, there's nothing on the walls, no books. There's a desk, and that's it. And so because of you folks' generosity in giving computers that we fix and repair, now they have programs that, you know, they do their own keyboarding, their typing. They learn some things that way. And they would love to have a computer lab like what we have up there, but we don't have that many computers. So what I have done from what the gifts come is the pastors are usually interested in notebooks because they travel around. They have their motorbikes. And so they strap them on and just keep on going, you know. And so any kind of notebooks all go to the pastors. And I give those to them free. You know, we don't charge them for those. But the desktops all go to the schools, and they use them every day. The kids stay behind. They do stuff as long as there's electricity. You see, in a third world country, electricity is like what New Jersey is going through right now. You know, the current is awful. Instead of 220, I measured it at 150 at my house sometimes. So you have all of this garbage. You have voltage regulators. You have UPSs. You have generators. It's just very expensive in a third world country. But no matter what it is, they love to have a computer because they are on the cutting edge in Togo. Nobody else has them. So it's another opportunity that you have done with those old computers that are sitting around gathering dust. You know, let some kids in Togo use them.
But the pastors use them too. I'm always thrilled when I see a budget actually printed out, and that the church has put some thought into it and done it. And they're all official letters, official documents, It's been very, very useful for the pastors and the schools, and it's a big selling point for our schools, too, that we have a computer, so people want to send their kids to our schools.
Harry, when you were here the last time, you know, patients in the hospital, you gave sort of a review of the concern you had about their spiritual condition then, but even after they leave the hospital, the follow-up.
Okay, what we've tried to do with the, first of all, in the hospital, what you need to know is that every patient's chart, you know, has all the medical stuff, but the top page of the chart is a spiritual progress chart. And so everybody that's a patient hears the gospel at least one time, usually once a day. So sometimes the doctors will keep a patient for an extra couple of days if we have the space to hear the gospel presentation the next day. So, and of course, we have several chaplains, and of course, the nurses and that are involved there too also give the gospel. So sometimes a person may hear the gospel if they've had some kind of a surgery for 2 or 3 days; they may hear it 10 times. So that's what we do inside. Now, if a profession of faith is made, then we try to hook it up two ways. We give that person's village to one of our closest pastors. And we do that on a monthly basis so they can try to find this person. There's no street addresses there, folks. You know, it's I live in the town of so-and-so, and that's it. And my chief is so-and-so, and that's as close as you get. Then on the other side is that we have little business cards printed up with some kind of the best address we can find and usually a cell phone number of the pastor, and we give that to the person that made the decision. So we try to get it from two different areas. To do follow-up. Often what's happening now is because of our hospitals and its reputation, people are coming from much further away, even other countries, the three countries that are around, Ghana, Burkina Faso, and Benin. And they're coming so far away, we don't have any churches nearby. So there's no real way for us to follow up. So you just give them what you can and trust the Holy Spirit to guide them. And so the Togolese do the best they can to do that follow-up, but that's often we can't do it. So that's one reason why you want to support Mango and the ministry up in with the leathers, okay? You know, radio is going to reach into that Muslim country. It's a wonderful tool. Medicine is the best tool ABWE has to get the gospel into a Muslim area because people come to you. When they have needs, they come to you. And when they have those kind of physical needs, you have the opportunity to speak the spiritual response that they really need. So it's the best tool that we have. So that's why if you just consider it as a spear, we are throwing this spear and that tip is going to hit in Mango. And that was the idea. Instead of playing defense all the time against the Muslims that come from the African, we need to play some offense. And so that's why the Mango Hospital was started. It's a great ministry. Okay, I don't want to run late, but if you have questions, ask them.
What quality of computer are you putting out? And if you could ask for,
okay.
Ask for monetary donation.
A desktop, I take a Pentium 4, and that's what a minimum, and that's what I put in the schools. Anything lower than that, I usually strip the parts out and use it.
We'd love to have flat screens rather than huge, heavy monitors.
Yes, but we will take the big ones still. But they're expensive to ship. You know, they're heavy, bulky. All those old small flat screens that you can't see anymore and all those little, you know, flash drives that don't hold anything anymore, give all that stuff to me, you know. They're cluttering up your desks and the closets, you know. You know, I'll be your junk place. You send them all to me. We can use them in Togo.
Some of the missionaries come out with the latest and greatest bells and whistles, and it's just useless because the internet and the telephone support just won't interface with these great newfangled modern things. You got to go back to a few generations older.
Can't use Macs out there. Country's just not built for Macs. They just don't have the software for it yet. Okay? Okay.
Do you have external hard drives? I know I've had some of these documents become pretty important for churches.
Usually what happens when a pastor has something that he wants to keep, he puts it on his own flash drive. And, you know, $5, $10, something like that. They don't usually have that many documents yet, but they will. So, yeah, an external hard drive, even a small one, you know, 30, 50 gigs, something like that, that would be fine, sure.
His other ministry is cleaning up viruses off of all these computers. 1,500 viruses on a computer.
See, because you spend, anytime you're on the phone, they charge you money. The internet is not free over there. Any minute that you're on, it costs you money. So therefore, nobody keeps up their antivirus program, especially when you have those 30 megabyte updates. You know, that a 30 megabyte update will take us an hour and a half to download if you aren't cut off. So nobody keeps it up. So there are viruses everywhere, everywhere. If someone sticks anything in your computer, you're going to get a virus. I can guarantee it. So we clean up a lot of stuff. Okay? Other questions? Thank you. Thank you. This is your ministry, and all to the glory of God.
All right. Well, that was good. I think you probably have more questions for them, and they're going to be around, and you'll have a chance to kind of touch base with those with the wards and everything, and that's a perspective on Andrew and Mary that probably some of you might not have thought about. So that's an area to look at and to think about. That's a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about on when we talk about faith promised on this coming Sunday morning, as we think just about our commitments and giving and what we're doing and things like that. I was thinking, as Harry was talking about John and Mary, when I went to Dallas Seminary, at Dallas, you know, really antiquated place, they for chapel, they sat us alphabetically. So, you know, Euler, I was next to one guy for 4 years. And so we went to chapel, sat next to each other, and we got to be pretty good friends. He was a New Testament major, and of course I'd majored in Old Testament and everything. But as I talked to Jerry and Karen and everything, began to find out a little bit about their heart, and they spent, I'm guessing, somewhere between 35, 40 years, primarily in Portugal and Spain with Greater Europe Mission, working in education. Well, we started supporting them back. We were amongst their first supporters, and for that entire time, we sent them a little bit here and there, and we didn't have much money, and but we were faithful in doing that. They just came off the field and are in Pennsylvania now. And the thing of it is that's a worthwhile investment when you begin to thinking about those things. So I hope you'll think about that and take a look at that. Now, tomorrow is going to be a special, special day. It is special because meatloaf, exactly. And so I mean to tell you, their meatloaf is to kill for. And so I am a connoisseur of meatloaf. I've had meatloaf everywhere I can imagine. Cracker Barrel is okay. My wife makes a barbecued meatloaf. I don't remember where she got the recipe from, her daughter, I think. And it is wonderful. Some of you say, I'm really not into meatloaf. Try it. You'll like it. And so anyway, you know, even if you don't want to, you know, have that, they make a mean sweet tea back there. So come and drink some sweet tea and come and spend some time talking to some folks, finding out a little bit about the things that they're doing. Tomorrow night, the Harpers and the Myers and Diana Patrick are all going to be sharing. And so I think that there's going to be some updating, some things that you're not going to know about, and you're going to find that to be very, very helpful. So we pray particularly about this conference. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in this day and time. This is, I'm reminded again, this is a busy, busy week. And, of course, you're going to have to do some heavy hustling on your schedule on Tuesday because we want to encourage you to vote and to make your choices. I don't know, did anybody see Billy Graham's ad that they put in the Wall Street Journal and a lot of newspapers? Anybody see that ad? That was an interesting ad as you looked at it, because what Dr. Graham said was, he said, you know, in this election, more than any other, we need to be thinking about spiritual priorities when we're making decisions. And he really pointed up a couple of areas. Number one, the whole issue of same-sex marriage, and he also talked about the protection of the unborn. I'm telling you, as I go into the neonatal unit and I look at those little babies and I look at those little lives and everything, and my daughter, you know, able to hold the baby in her hand when she was working in that area, those are important spiritual priorities. Now, I don't really give a royal rip about Republicans and Democrats and things like that. What I care about is honoring the principles of God's Word. So you search your heart as you're thinking about those kinds of areas, and you think about what it is God wants you to do. And don't do it just because I say so. Do it because what the Scripture says. Look at the Scripture and examine your hearts and your lives as you look at those things. And so encourage you to be a part and parcel of those things. We got lots going on, so those are areas we look at, we think about, to see what it is God would have us to do in these areas. So you keep praying for Doris Price. I've not heard any more. I know they're doing some tests. We'll probably know more tomorrow. And the other thing is in New York. Where exactly was it? In Hoboken, New Jersey, the church took about 3 feet of water, and it's a BIMI church plant. And John and I had the experience after Katrina going and helping Stephen strip out his house. And that was an amazing, amazing situation. Probably next Sunday we're going to try and take a special offering for that ministry to help them. They've got people that can go and can do certain things. But they're going to need some help with sheetrock and different sorts of things. So I'd hope that you'd think about that and pray about that opportunity, what we could do. So, Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your goodness and your care for us. And, Father, we do pray for our country, and we pray that your will surely be done, Father, that you'll give us direction and focus in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.